European American Evangelistic Crusades welcomes you to this teaching presentation. This teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell was recorded at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. For questions regarding this teaching, or for a catalog of teaching tapes, or for a teaching magazine called The Dove, visit us at www.eaec.org. And now, let us begin our teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on January 30th. And would you believe we have finished the first month of year 2000? 1 month gone, 11 ago. Did January go fast for you? It went really fast. It looks like God is just speeding time up. Well, let's just pray and we get right into the message. Father God, I want to thank and praise you right now for these moments. And Father God, we just ask you right now to open the Word of God to us. Give us insight, revelation, understanding, so that, Father God, we should be victorious. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Earth, God's University of Faith, Part 15. I preached 14 sermons on this. We have gone through subject after subject that we have to take in this university. Y'all got to take it. And today we're going to be talking about mercy. Mercy. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. God has mandated this subject you must study, diversity of faith. But God has given man a free will to succeed or to fail. There are two concepts that will determine mercy. The first concept of mercy is based upon the concept of law. The law of God demands the death penalty for all human beings, and after death, eternal banishment to the lake of fire. We read from Romans 5, 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commands his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This is something that we have a hard time to understand. What does a person have to do to go to hell? How hard do you have to work to go to hell? I tell you what, you don't have to work at all. It is easy to go to hell. All you have to do is to do nothing. You see, every man, woman, boy and girl on this planet is sentenced to hell and later to the lake of fire through the sin of Adam. And the only way we can get out of that situation is to receive mercy and to be born again. Now the humanists do not like that. They simply say, well, there are many ways to God. You know, the Buddhists are climbing up one ladder and the Hindus are coming up another one. And then we got the Muslims, we got all these other people, you know. God will not be so cruel that he would cream everyone on this earth if they do not accept Christ. Let me give you a concept. We can look upon it again. It's raining right now. Think about the flood. At the flood, it never rained. God warned the people. He spoke to Noah. Now, I'm sure at the time of Noah, we had all kind of preachers. Prosperity preachers, this denomination, simply saying this, look, God will never drown us. That's not God's nature. He's too nice for that. God doesn't do things like this. So folks, relax. Don't believe that joker Noah over here. He's just a fanatic, a fundamental Christian that has gone bananas. Come to us. Let's party, have a good time. Did he change God? When it rained, as you look out today, it rained 40 days, 40 nights, and God creamed them all except Noah, his wife, 3 sons, and their wives. We ought to think about these things. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love, but God is also a God of judgment. And there is a cut of time. As we go on in Romans 5 now, we read this. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had sinned after the sin to the Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. There you have it. The grace, the gift, the mercy. And not as it was by one that sins as a gift to the just, but by one to the condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. We have mercy and freedom from God. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And you want to read a few verses there. That's Revelation, the 20th chapter. And we pick it up in verse 10. And the devil that deceived that was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast of the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, in whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were all judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's going to be a final judgment. If you do not have your name written in the book of life, you are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. This week in Sacramento, we had a sentencing of a couple that closed a very sad chapter. This woman had 5 children. She was a drug addict. She's about between 35 and 40 years old. And she had shacked up with a man that she was not married to, and he was a drug addict. And they had put curtains, blankets over all the windows. And they were doing their drugs and pheromones. She would allow this man to, as she held children, she would allow this man to physically abuse them and committing sexual acts upon them. They had one little girl of 3 years old that had a problem with bedwetting. And, of course, she was traumatized. And this man would take her to try to teach her. He would take a bath of cold water, put as much ice as he could in it, and hold that little girl down until she screamed in terror. One day he held her down too long and she drowned and she died. He was in court this week. In order to avoid the death penalty, he pleaded guilty. He came to court clutching a Bible, and he was sobbing. And when the older children testified what he had done to them, he put his fingers in his ears. He didn't want to hear it. He was an orphan, adopted by American missionaries in Brazil, brought here. He was sentenced to 35 years to life. The woman was sentenced to 72 years to life. And it was said that the woman had been a castaway baby, born in San Francisco, somebody putting it in a garbage can years ago. But the judge simply said this: "I'm sorry, but I have no mercy for you." You see, there's a consequence. When we sin, we think, well, you know, God will understand. There are consequences. And we have to be responsible. Yes, God has mercy, but God also has judgment. And He demands that we live according to His Word. How much do you think that little 3-year-old girl suffered before she died? She had a bad cold bath many times. How many times do you think those children suffered when you had your own mother holding them and tying them up so that the man could rape them and do bad things on them? It hurts. We think these are bad people. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can be saved. Even the most rotten murderer can be saved. You've got to understand this, that even a person like Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, and Napoleon, and take all the different people through the ages, Jesus died even for their sins. He died for all sins. All men can repent if they repent and seek His mercy. But you got to come to Him and ask Him to forgive you, and you got to change. Turn to Romans chapter 10. The book of Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans 10. If you pick it up in verse number 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise: say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what says it? The word is nigh you, even your mouth and your heart. That is a word of faith which you preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to warn you today. I want to warn people watching us by television or video or listening by audio cassette. Don't give out a cheap gospel. You see, the world is full of people that simply says, do you love Jesus? Oh yeah, I love Jesus. Well, just take Jesus then and you go to heaven. If you look upon the scriptures, it is not enough just to love Jesus. There got to be conviction of your sins. There got to be of repentance. We got to say, Father God, forgive me. I understand that I've been doing wrong, and I'm turning from my sins, and I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. I think that many people in churches and in meetings, they are flocking to the altars, and they have a blanket prayer over them. But they do not know what are they praying, why are they praying, how did Jesus die for them, how are they saved? They don't know. They simply feel good. And that's why so many fall by the wayside over the years. Don't give them a cheap gospel. Give them the real gospel. Make sure they understand that they have to repent, ask for forgiveness, and confess their sins. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between a Jew and a Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's one thing I did many, many years ago. I started living in Salt Lake City, and I remember to this day, I asked God for forgiveness, but I can't get away from it. I was working in a church. We had meetings. We were leading people to Christ. We evangelized about films. And this one young man came forward. He was a Mormon, accepted Christ. And he was really on fire. And he came to me, and he said, John, he said, I feel called to the ministry. Well, the week before, I heard Billy Graham say that we don't need any more ministers now. We just need lay people. And without thinking, without understanding, I just sounded like an idiot parrot. I said to this man, we don't need any more ministry. We need no more lay people. So go home and don't do anything about it. I hope he didn't listen to me. I hope God sent somebody else. But you know, I might have condemned that man, not to get in the ministry. He could have been earmarked to have a church, to be an evangelist. There might have been 15,000-20,000 people that should be saved through that man's ministry. And because of my stupidity and listening to a television evangelist and not understanding that this event was out of order, I just repeated what he said. It's a grief I would have to carry until I get to heaven. Don't give a cheap gospel. Look at the outline. Without truth, integrity, and love, there can be no mercy. You know, God gave me another chance. I want to shoot this in right now. I got a phone call from Augusta, Georgia. I think it was Friday. And this man, 32 years old, he said, I got saved. I'm on fire for the Lord. He said, I'm called to the ministry. I want to be an evangelist. God's called me an evangelist. What do I do? I said, let me tell you what you can do. And this time, I didn't botch it. God is going to touch him. In John chapter 8, the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, and we pick it up in verse 28. Then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, many believed in him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Look in verse number 31. What did Jesus say? He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And you shall know the truth. and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How do you say you should be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, very sin to you. Whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Look in verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How important is truth? There's a new Bible translation that's been released, probably been on the market for maybe a year or 2 years. Everybody's promoting it, saying this is the greatest Bible translation we have. But if you look in Revelation, it has watered down the message in Revelation 13 and 14 where God speaks about the mark of the beast. It used to be when I got saved and got right with God in 1965, I listened to C.M. Ward. He was a good preacher, Assembly of God. I listened to others. And they stated strongly, the mark of the beast is coming someday. Don't take it. And I was raised with this. It's in the original text. But this new Bible version coming out, that a whole host of prominent preachers and evangelists now are tooting, simply say this, the mark is symbolic. They say, don't worry about if it come down to the time when you have to take a chip either in your forehead or in your hand or a mark, whatever it is. It doesn't mean anything as long as your heart is right. Satan is already conditioning. His choir is singing. And the young generation coming up, that are 25 and down, are not anchored in the Word of God. They're going to believe it. And I want you to hear me now with all your heart and mind. Someday the mark of the beast is going to be required. And you might be old at that time. And you will stand there and you will see the Christians coming down. And they are simply saying, well, we take the mark, we've got to function. And you're going to say, oh my God. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you take the mark of the beast, you are forever lost. You cannot be redeemed. There's no way back. And you're going to stand up with tears running down your cheeks and saying, how did I get there? Through deception. Watering down on the Word of God. Truth is an absolute we've got to have. Look what I wrote here. No intelligent person on this earth will question the absolute need for doctrinal truth when it comes to God's physical laws, mathematics, chemistry, aerodynamics, electricity, etc. How do you think the people in that last Egyptian flight that went down over the Atlantic Ocean, they lived for about 3 minutes? How do you think they felt when suddenly that airplane just went straight down? And then it came back up again for another minute, and then it began to plunge. They knew at that time, we are dying. I believe there might have been Christians there. There might have been Muslims there. I know there were Muslims there. But I believe at that time, the fear of death gripped them all. And I realized, this airplane is not going to land the normal way. This is the end of life for us. We're going to die right here. And I'm sure that some of them screamed out, because I did not know if they were saved or not. Can you imagine? When they have died, And God's angel went down and collected 250-some-odd people. And it simply says, what happened? Well, you died physically, but now you're on the other side. We're going to sort you out. We're going to check your ID. If you're not to the book of life, you go to hell. Can you imagine the crying and the wailing and saying, well, why didn't anyone tell us that before we died? God's been trying to tell that for years. But you see, churches cheapen the grace of God and we hold back. Christians need to go back to some basics and ask some hardcore questions. Look what I wrote here. Did doctrinal truth make a difference to the people that drowned at the time of Noah? We spoke about that earlier today. Did it make a difference? Now, I'm sure that someone says, well, I don't have to go in the ark. I'm just going to have a piece of wood here. God will understand. I just don't like to be confined to the ark. I don't like the way Noah preached. I like this guy over here. He's more positive. Well, I like this guy over here. He got more miracles. I like this guy over here. God said, there's one ark. There's one opening. You've got to come through repentance. If we could go to hell today and ask that crowd down there, did doctrine, truth make any difference? They would look at you and say, man, if I could get back, would I obey? Oh, man, would I obey? But they can't. Think about the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Right now, in this state, we look upon a new law, initiative, that would establish the right for homosexuals to marry. I don't like to use the term gay. Gay to me means happy, joyous. I call these people miserable. That's the wrong word. I don't care how long they used it. They are miserables. Sodomites. God loves them. God wants to save them, but they sins. Now, Gray Davis made a statement. He said, personally, he said, I'm not for homosexual marriages, but I'm against this proposition. He's a good politician. And by the way, he's a good Roman Catholic. He doesn't attend mass. And you know, he gets a little wafer and stuff, you know, so he's in with the crowd. Did God simply say this? Well, we got to look upon Sodom and Gomorrah. All these guys don't know what they're doing. What's wrong with homosexuals? They're just hurting themselves. Let's just save them. Did doctrine make a difference? How did the people in Sodom and Gomorrah react when the angels came in? When these two angels walked into the city, these men said, hey, two new guys, let's rape them. And the angels had to smite them with blindness. And then they pulled Lot out and his wife and daughters. Did God save Sodom and Gomorrah? He had warned them. And when he reigned, he destroyed them all. You got to understand, God is merciful, but there's a cutoff time. And we got to be very sure that we know the truth. Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. You know, people today are dying of all kinds of different diseases. And, you know, they're Christians and they can't understand why. Could it be that we've been careless with the truth? 2 Chronicles, the 21st chapter. And I'm sorry if I ruined your Sunday morning. You didn't get a positive sermon. But I'd rather have you make it upstairs than to take the elevator and go downstairs. In 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse number 4. This is the king, Jehoram. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself, and he slew all his brethren with a sword, and divers also the princes of Israel. This guy was really a nice kid. That's facetious saying that. He said, I'm the king now. I don't trust my brothers. They might want to be kings to the sword. That's how he strengthened himself, by murdering all his brothers. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Talk about a bad choice. Jezebel was terrible. Her children were rotten. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit, the Lord will not destroy the house of David because of the covenant they had made with David, as he promised to give him a life to him and to his sons forever. In his days, Edomites revolted from the dominion of Judah and made himself a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him, and he rose up by night and smote the Edomites which compassed him in, and he kept on the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his house, of his fathers. Moreover, he made a place in the mountain of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and compelled Judah thereto. Now I want you to understand that this man was religious. All the priests and everybody else in town in that country said, oh, king, you are great. Murdering your brothers? That's all right, because we want a strong king. Doing these evil things? Well, our economy is doing great. Let's just have unity, togetherness. Love, 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 love. I'm sure they had that. And there came a writing to him from Elijah, the prophet, saying, this is the Lord God of David, your father. Because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, have made Judah and the inhabitants of Judah to go whoring, like the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also has slain your brethren of your father's house, which are better than yourself. Behold, with a great plague, will the Lord smite your people and your children, and your wives and all your goods. And you should have great sickness by disease of your bowels. Unto your bowels fall out by reasoning of the sickness day by day. He probably got colon cancer. Look in verse 15. Now, if you would have a messenger from God coming and telling you that, what would you do? I'll tell you what I would do. I will say, hey, let's have a prayer meeting right now. I'm ready to repent now. I want to get right with God. I don't want to go down this road. Did this man repent? No. In verse 18, his read says, and after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowel with incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning of him like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and he departed out being disciple. In other words, people said, get rid of that guy. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the kings. Did truth make a difference to King Jehoram? Ask him to tell us he's burning in hell, and he would tell you it sure did. Turn to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. This is what Jesus said. And ye enter the strait gate. For wide is a gate, and broad is a way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is a gate, and narrow is a way which leads unto life. And the few there be that finds it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I want you to see these verses. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is a gate, and broad is a way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is a gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that finds it. Now, some of you says, well, you're too much for the truth. Let me share this with you. Last year we had some people work on our property. This particular contractor, I will not give his nationality, but he came up to me and he said, we have to work the payments here. I said, oh, I'm just going to write you a check. He said, no, we can't do it that way, he said, because I'm on welfare. And my family's on welfare. The guy had only 8 children. So I'm sure he put in a nice welfare check. He said, I have to report everything. If I make money, I've got to report it. And then they subtract that. So he says, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to go and meet to the bank. You withdraw cash from the bank. You give me this cash. And I give you no receipt, and then I'm paid. I said, let's back up a little bit. Are you going to report this to the welfare department? He said, no. He said, I lose money. Now, he was a Christian. Spoke in tongues. And had all kind of goodies. I looked upon him, I said this. I said, sir, I am not going to lie for you. I'm not going to sell my soul and be part of lying, cheating, and conniving. I said, I'm sorry. He said, I thought you would tell me that. I said, you work it honest, and I'll pay you. I want to tell you something. I probably owe me about $3,000. He finished the job. He never asked me for the money. And so he probably never will ask me for the money. Because he can't receive. He makes too much in welfare. So he'd rather take a loss for what he did with me than to lose welfare. Now, I want to ask you something. I made a decision years ago because I was a liar and a cheat. I made a decision that I'm going to walk in the light. You do business with me, you work with me, you go together straight. That's what I got a few friends. And I would tell you like it is. Because I believe this. 1 John chapter 1, it says this, for God is light, there's no darkness in him. And if you walk in the light, in the light, we have fellowship with one another, with him, and we have no sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Let's look again in Matthew here. Verse 21. Let's look in verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils. And in your name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I believe some people might not be saved. They haven't understood. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them. I will liken him unto the wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be like the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Another contractor was working on something on our property last year. And he said this, John, he said, if you want to, I can sell you this here, you know, and you just give me cash. I said, does that mean you're not going to report the earning, the wages of the men? You're not going to pay their Social Security? You're not going to pay insurance? He said, that's right. He says, I just had him work here, and we do not pay that, and he says, it's money in your pocket. I said, you will not work on this property unless you pay all fees and all things that are required. I said, I will not be dishonest. I refuse. It cost me about $2,000. But you know what? My integrity is worth more than $200 billion. I don't care how much it costs me. My integrity is worth more than anything else. Yes, God will give mercy. But mercy can only be there when we understand the law. There's an epidemic of cheating and lying in America today. It's destroying the very fiber of society. Look upon President Clinton, the most sorriest looking example in the world. And some say, don't talk about him again. But I can't help it. Look upon him. You know who he is? He is a product of America. He is America's sin incarnated. We made him. And we made millions like him. People cheat in schools. They lie. They do all kind of things. And a fabric is destroyed. You're going to have to make up your mind who you're going to be. And I tell you this, that the man or the woman that walks in truth, pays the taxes, do not lie and cheat on their income taxes, will go far and wide. There's a little time these people make money and it looks like they're doing great. But they got the house built on sand and it will crash. It's wonderful to be built on the rock. And when the storms come, you're not moved. If somebody says, I want to see your books, I want to look at your checkbook, I want to test you out, you can say, look, here it is. I got nothing to hide. That's how you want to live. Back to the outline. The second concept of mercy is based upon the law of love. Turn to Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till 7 times. Jesus said to him, I sin unto you until 7 times, but the 70 times 7, unlimited. He said, therefore the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, we take account of his servant. And when he had begun to reckon what was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents, $10,000. But forasmuch he had not to pay, his Lord commanded to be sold, his wife and children, all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, $10. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, and saying, pay me that you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told him what the Lord all was done. Then his Lord, after that day, had called him and said to him, O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I pity on you? And his Lord was wroth, delivered him to the torment. He shall pay all that we're doing to him. Now look in verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother that trespasses. We have to show mercy. It is not an option. It is a demand from Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this. If this law of mercy is applied in our marriages, our churches, in the workplace, in traffic, there will be joy unspeakable. I want you to think about how you talk in your marriages. Let me talk to you about marriage for a few moments. We show very little mercy. We judge quickly. We say, well, you did this, you did that. We want mercy on us, but we don't give any mercy. That's where you got troubles. If somebody crossed you in church, you says, well, fury on this person. I'm not going to be his friend anymore. I'm going to write this guy off. He crossed me once. That's it. No one walks on me. Traffic. How we insist on our rights. On the workplace. Remember this. If you do not show mercy, God will not have mercy on you. And you'll be given to the tormentors. And you will pay till the last penny is paid. Turn to Isaiah 14. The book of Isaiah chapter 14. I want to show you the true character of Satan. There is no mercy in the kingdom of Satan. Isaiah 14, 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground when it weakened the nations? If you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountains of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds and be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you, and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? You want to see Satan's kingdom? Look on Nazi Germany. Look on the Soviet Union. Look at China today. Look at any dictatorship area. Wherever you have a dictator, look upon them. And there's no mercy. There's no love. There's no forgiveness except death and destruction. That's what the devil has. God wants us to be loving, kind, and merciful. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, we read the following. The Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. We pick it up in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How would you rate it? He answered, said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said unto him, you have answered right. This do, and you shall live. But he went into justice himself to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus told the story here of the man that fell to robbers. The priest came, verse 31, passed him. The Levite came, passed him. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence I gave him to the host and said to him, take care of him. And whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Which now these three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy to him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do you likewise. We want revival. We want a move of God. Revival and the move of God is when you and I come to the place of repentance, when we come to the place of obedience, when we come to the place of forgiveness and showing mercy and kindness to people around us. Where do we start? You start with your wife. You start with your husband. You start with your children. You start with your in-laws, your outlaws. You be nice to your dog, too. We start with people around us. You start in the church. You see, if we cannot be nice to one another here, if you cannot be nice to your family, how can you be nice to strangers you've never met? I wrote this out in Matthew 7:12. You have it in the outline. The spiritual law of Jesus that will never fail. Therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. They call that the golden rule, but look upon what he really says. Therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do you want love? Then give love. Do you want forgiveness? Then give forgiveness. If you want mercy, then give mercy. Take your tongue and crucify your tongue. Our tongue easily flares up. We are easily offended. It doesn't take a whole lot to offend us, does it? But you want people to be kind to you, loving, understanding. You want them to give you mercy. This is where we start. We give mercy. When somebody give you a bad name next time, don't mouth back, but say, I will pray for you. God loves you despite your ugliness. I love you. I tell you what. Whoever called you a bad name is going to walk out of feeling that big. Man, what did I say? But if you open your mouth and you say, well, you blankety, blankety, ha ha! Then you're both in the sandbox. And then the devil is there with the demons. Simple sign. Go at it. Tear each other up. Somebody got to start loving. Don't wait for someone else to start loving you. You begin. Therefore, all things, whatever you would, the man should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Are you born again? And are you going to heaven? Do you have an ear to hear with? What I share with you today is scripture. It's in the Bible. You can do two things with it. You can simply say, well, I'm going to find out a church. I'm just going to find a place where they're easy on. I want to feel good. I want the pastor to talk about that I can make $1 million next year. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear him talk about, let's get a boat, let's get a boat. Let's go for a cruise to Alaska, wherever they go. If you want to build your house on the sand, you're welcome. But this church stands for truth. And I tell you what, as a pastor, I don't want any one of you Well, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, you say, well, Jesus, he gave me slack. He didn't tell me. He kind of covered it up. No, I'm shooting straight from the hips. You're going to get it straight barreled. Because when we come to the judgment seat, I don't want Jesus to say, son, why don't you tell him? Well, I didn't want to offend him. Lord, we need more money. I wanted a bigger church. Lord, you couldn't understand it. I want to be more people. I don't want to be told, okay, I'm going to have to work on you. I don't want to be worked on in heaven. I want to come up and be loved in heaven. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to get a reward. It's going to be a judgment. And I had enough pain on this earth, haven't you? When I get there, I want to be finished. I want to come up and say, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I did what I could. And I want Jesus as well. We got to get a chisel and a hammer. And we got to shave this off over here. Oh, no, I don't want to go to the dentist again. I've been there enough. How about you? Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today, Lord, that I was able to preach this sermon. It's recorded on tape. The outline will be on the website, Lord, go around the world. And Father God, I'm not proud of taking pride in standing with the truth. But I just ask today, Father God, you give every man and woman here, many of them have it, Lord. But those who don't have, give them a revelation what truth really is. Turn on the light, Lord, and show them how important it is that we walk in your light. And Father, if we walk in your light, help us to have mercy. Help us to be kind to our wives, to our husbands, to our children, to our grandparents, to our loved ones, to strangers. Baptize us with your love today, Father God, I ask in Jesus' name. And Lord, let this be a church of love and mercy. Love and mercy, compassion. In Jesus' name. Either watching me by television, listening by audio cassette, you might say, what can I do right now where I'm at? You might be in a car, you might be in a home someplace. If you are not saved, you say this, Father God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me my sins. Cleanse me right now with the blood of Jesus. And I confess I'm a sinner. I confess I've done right, wrong things in my life. And I need to be forgiven. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I take Jesus right now to be my Lord and Savior. Come on, Jesus. And save me. In your name I pray. You pray that prayer and you'll be saved. And get the Bible, if you can get a hold of the Bible. Get an old King James Bible. If you got these strange Bibles, go to garage sale, go to used bookstore, go someplace and find yourself an old King James Bible. So you will not be led astray. Find a church where they preach the Word of God, if this still is a church. This might be 30 years from now you find this tape. You might be in a tribulation, who knows? But you call upon the name of the Lord, He will save you, He will touch you. May God richly bless you, and thank you for coming away tonight.